Reading from the 7th chapter, 15th, 7th canto, 15th chapter, text number 35. Kamadi bhirana viddham prashanta khila vrittiyat chittam brahma sukha sprishtham naivo tishteta karihichit. Kama, when one's consciousness is uncontaminated by material lusty desires, it becomes calm and peaceful in all activities, for one is situated in eternal blissful life. Once situated on that platform, one does not return to materialistic activities. Purport. Brahma Sukha Sprishtam is also described in Bhagavad Gita 18.54. Brahma Bhutaha Prasannatma Nashochati Nakankshati Sarva Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labate Param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In this situation, he begins transcendental activities or devotional service to the Lord. Generally, once elevated to the transcendental platform of Brahma Sukh, transcendental bliss, one never comes down. But if one does not engage in devotional service, there is a chance of his returning to the material platform. Aruhiya krichrena param padam tataha patantyadho nadrita yushmadangrayaha. One who may rise to the platform of Brahma Sukh, transcendental bliss, but even from that platform, one may fall down to the material platform if he does not engage himself in devotional service. Hare Krishna. Translation. When one's consciousness is uncontaminated by material lusty desires, it becomes calm and peaceful in all activities, for one is situated in eternal blissful life. Once situated on that platform, one does not return to materialistic activities. Hare Krishna. So here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting the verse of the Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nashochati Nakankshati. So, the secret of happiness, everyone is looking for happiness, lies within our own hearts. And once having attained it, one neither laments nor one hankers. And the symptom is given in the Gita, that he sees everyone equally, and on such a state of liberated platform, one achieves the devotional service of the Lord. So, you know, we hear of the story of Shukdev Goswami, who happens to visit Janak Maharaj's kingdom. That story is there, that he comes to the gates of the kingdom, of the palace, and Janak Maharaj wanted to display to the people what are the symptoms of a devotee. So he was kind of using Shukdev Goswami as an instrument. So at the gate, Shukdev Goswami was not even received properly. He was just kept there waiting for many days. For a few days he was just standing there without a proper reception. But still, on his face there was no remorse. There was no feeling of being insulted, or, you know, typically someone would feel, you know, ignored or something like that. Absolutely calm, undisturbed in such a situation. And then, after a few days, the king went along with all his paraphernalia and all his soldiers and, you know, all his ministers and everyone, with a red carpet treatment to Shukdev Goswami. And in such a situation also he was undisturbed completely. So that is a symptom of a devotee, that he is not disturbed, he is free from the desire for honor, prestige, appreciation. Once I was in one of the ISKCON temples, and one there was one congregation devotee who came from somewhere outside the temple, and the devotees did not know that he was a senior devotee, senior person in the movement or something, a donor or something like that. So when he came to the temple, he was chanting with us and no one noticed him. No one noticed actually. And somehow or another he got missed. Eventually someone discovered that he's a devotee or something like that, and important person. So they gave him the class. They gave speak the Bhagavatam class. So when he was speaking the Bhagavatam class, in the end he said that, how is it that, you know, since the morning I'm here in the temple and no one has ever come to me to say Hare Krishna. It's very bad. You know, people are so busy, devotees are so busy that they didn't even observe me. At least a Hare Krishna would do. No one even acknowledged me. And he was very upset. So then all the devotees were discussing that, yes, our guest reception needs to do a good service. You know, at least acknowledge the newcomers, speak to them and things like that. But certainly, we have seen that when we are not acknowledged, when we are not received well, we are offended many times. Why? Because the desire for honor and prestige. So that is very strong. And in order to actually attain the state of liberation, one has to become free from this desire for honor and being respected. So we tell the story of the person who got the news that he had to inherit a treasure of his forefathers. And so he went around with the maps, you know, ancient maps, trying to search for the location where his forefathers would have, you know, probably hidden the treasure. And he goes around all the places, the countries, you know, trying to find out the location. After spending a long, long time, finally he dies somewhere in some unknown place. And somehow or another, some devotees find out, some of his relatives find out where he is. They bring his body and they think we should at least give him a decent burial. So they try to dig a pit in the courtyard of his house. And they're digging the courtyard of his house, they find the treasure there. You know. So the thing is, the irony of life is that we are looking for happiness everywhere in this world, but we have failed to see the treasure within our own hearts. And only when we can stop searching happiness outside can we actually begin the search within, the spiritual happiness within our own hearts. And here it is, the Brahma Sukh, which is the liberated state beyond the three modes, is actually the state of true happiness. And beyond that is again devotional service, when actually one truly, you know, begins to relish the positive bliss of Krishna consciousness. So, sama dukham sukham swastha, in the 12th chapter, Krishna says, sama dukham sukham swastha, sama loshtra shma kanchana, tulya priya priyo dhiras, tulya nindadi samstuti. Sama sukham dukham swastha. One is equipoised even in the greatest situation of unhappiness or happiness. Samaloshtrashma kanchana. He considers gold and he considers a stone just the same. Tulya priya apriya dhiras. What is pleasing, what is not pleasing, he considers that just the same. Tulya nindadi samstutihi. And even when one is respected or one is glorified or one is insulted, he doesn't really take it very seriously. He just situated in his service to the Lord. Tulya mitrari udasino, he says, then again, you know, that he's equipoised even towards his enemies, towards his friends. Tulya mitrari pakshayo. So he's equipoised. He doesn't have any friends. He doesn't have any enemies. He's equal to everyone. So that is the state of liberation. That is the state of actually Brahman, beyond the three modes. So this Brahman realization, this happiness realization in the heart comes with knowledge. Brahma Gyan. Bhakti Gyan, which is higher than that, comes within the heart when one executes Krishna consciousness. And therefore Krishna says, Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat swayam yoga samsiddha kalena atmani vindati. That in this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. So we should be looking for this knowledge. The goal of life should be to actually seek out this knowledge. Today, if you see, most of the people are running behind wealth, you know, career, jobs, anywhere you look, you know, people are just running around thinking that money will make them happy. No, but it won't. You've seen, there's enough wealth in this world today. People are having a lot of wealth. Economic development is taking place in all the different big countries of the world. But people are not happy. So therefore, there are words of wisdom in the Shastras which says that Vidya dadati vinayam, vinaya adyati patratam, patrivad dhanam apnoti dhana dharmam tadhasukham. That one should seek knowledge. With education makes one humble. Vidya dadati vinayam. When one gets education, one gets humility. Vinaya yati patratam. When one gets humility, then one gets qualification. Patratvad dhanam apnoti. When one gets qualification, then one can actually earn money. And then dhana dharmam tatha sukham. And when that money is engaged in religious sacrifice, then one gets sukham. Then one gets happiness. So to become happy, this is actually the principle. Dharma artha kama moksha. Or in other words, one should seek knowledge. Knowledge is very important. If one runs behind money, then one will miss out on everything. One will miss out on happiness, one will miss out on money also. One will miss out on knowledge also. That's why you see today in most of the, you know, world, like, it's very popular. One of the most viewed TV serials in television is like Kaun Banega Karodpati, things like that. Yeah? Everyone loves to watch that because everyone is thinking, wow, if only I could have, you know, won that much money. Everyone wants quick money. But research has shown that within 2 years of people who earn lottery tickets or, you know, get a lot of money, they lose their money within 2 years. That means the proof that, the conclusion is that a fool and his money is never together. Yeah, I mean, to make use of the money properly, you have to have knowledge. And even if you get money, that money will only make you miserable. That's how it is. Therefore it is said, sarva dravyeshu vidyaiva dravya ahur anuttamam ahar yatvad anargatvad akshayatvad cha sarvada. Education is better than wealth. Because no one can steal it from you, even if it is priceless and it is imperishable. People like to keep credit cards, isn't it? People like to keep credit cards. Why? Because, you know, carrying too much notes is risky. A lot of money in the pocket is risky. So people keep plastic cards. Okay, why? Because, you know, you go somewhere, you get pickpocketed. Not a big problem. It's easy to keep and transport, isn't it? So actually, knowledge is far, far superior to keeping a credit card. Because knowledge, you can anytime encash and you can get money. No one can steal it from you. Even a credit card can be stolen. But knowledge, no one can steal. So therefore, it is said, knowledge is better than wealth. So that is a very wonderful fact, actually. And, you know, there was one of our relatives who went to Tirupati temple. So all the relatives, husband, wife, children, were all going. So it is said that, you know, in the temples, crowded place, people get stolen, pickpocketed. So what the members of the family did, husband and all, they had a watch and ring and all. So they removed it and gave it to the mother. So mother kept everything in a small pouch, put it in the bag. Yeah, and 10,000, 15,000 rupees were also there in the bag. So she was going there, and all throughout that darshan line, 3-4 hours, she was keeping it clasped within the hands, making sure that the money is there, So much anxiety, isn't it? And then keeping the thing tied up, and every time making sure the purse is there. And you know the best part? After they took darshan and came back, so husband said, okay, give me my ring and give me my wallet. So she opens, she opens it, and she finds there's a hole in the wallet. Someone from down, from the purse, you know, put a blade, and all the money was out. Everything gone, 10, 15,000 rupees, ring. So that's the experience, isn't it? First of all, you have wealth, there's a lot of anxieties. Where to keep it? Someone will steal it. Someone may be looking at some kind of, and you can't even be peaceful. Isn't it? And there's a risk of losing everything. But that's not the case with knowledge. When you have knowledge, no one can steal it from you. And not only that, if you distribute it, if you give it, it increases. So that is the greatness. In the Mahabharata, we see the famous example of Yudhishthira Maharaj. After so many years of austerities and subjecting to so much of tortures, he finally gets his kingdom, the Pandavas, only to lose it in a gambling match. And then again he gets his kingdom. Dhritarashtra gives his kingdom back. And then again there's a gambling match, again he loses it. And then he goes to the forest for 14 years. And then there is a huge battle. Thousands and thousands, crores of soldiers die only to get back the kingdom. And that also for how many years they ruled? 36 years. Goes to show, Lord is showing through this, through the history, that no matter how much, for how, you know, how much wealth you have, but it's not for long. You know, you won't be able to keep it for long. It's only temporary. So therefore it is explained that knowledge is very important. Material wealth is temporary. How long can you keep their wealth? For how long? How much? That is a big question. Therefore, if you see, you know, consultants today, consultants, just by giving advice, they can make so much of money. We've seen in the material world. The power of knowledge. If you have knowledge, if you're just able to advise, so many big consulting companies, they make a lot of money. So we see that this, you know, the scriptures say that out of all the knowledge, there are two very important knowledge. Shastra Vidya and Shastra Vidya. Now, Shastra Vidya, it is said, becomes an object of ridicule when a person grows old. Say, when you have a lot of knowledge about defense, about warfare, Kshatriyas are considered very superior because of the knowledge of the skill that they have for fighting. But when one grows old, and if he claims to be a warrior, people may make fun of him. Isn't it? But Shastra Vidya, when you grow old and you have a lot of realizations, you're respected even more. When a devotee grows old, by dint of his realization and his Shastra knowledge and his experience, he's very much respected. Therefore, it is explained that when a non-devotee grows old, he becomes useless. But when a devotee grows old, he becomes more valuable. Why? Because of his Shastra Vidya. Therefore, Shastra Vidya is more important than mundane knowledge or, you know, materialistic martial arts or anything, that kind of knowledge. So, you know, there is an episode in the Mahabharata that when Bhishma, after the Battle of Kurukshetra, when he was lying down on the bed of arrows, Yudhishthir Maharaj, he comes there. Because he was dissatisfied. He was feeling that it was because of him that the battle was fought and so many lives were lost. Just for a kingdom, he has caused great loss. So Lord Krishna led him to Bhishma for a conversation. And when Yudhishthir Maharaj went to Bhishma, along with him came all the great sages from all over the world. And when all of them are assembled, Yudhishthir Maharaj, he asks a question to Bhishma. And he says, Yudhishthirastad akarnya shayanam shara panjare
अपरिच्छद विविधान धर्मान ऋषिनाम चानुश्रण्वताम. Sutta Goswami said that Maharaj Yudhishthir, after hearing Bhishma Dev speak in that appealing tone, asked him in the presence of all the great rishis about the essential principles of various religious duties. That means when he is lying down in that situation, Bhishma Dev, who is such a great warrior with so much experience of war, of archery and everything, Yudhishthir Maharaj doesn't come there to ask him, so tell me the secrets of warfare. He asks him about religious principles. So we can understand that the knowledge of dharma is far superior to any other form of knowledge. So therefore, one should seek out knowledge rather than seeking out wealth or, for that matter, anything else in this world. This is a very important principle. Because ultimately, what is all these things? What is all these facilities like money or wealth or good health? What are all these things? It is basically facilities which are endowed by the Lord Himself. It is not sought, it is not acquired by our own endeavors. It is given by the Lord. One may do a lot to protect it, but one may have to lose it ultimately. That's why in the Bhagavatam it is said, Pati Chutam Tishtadi Drishta Rakshitam Grihe Sitam Tad Vihitam Venashati. That you may lose your wallet somewhere, but somehow or another in the marketplace you lose your wallet, and within the vision of everyone there present, the person comes back after some time still to find his wallet lying there. But a person may lock up his valuables in the locker in a treasury, but some thief will come and steal away all his wealth. Isn't it? We've seen that. Once I remember when I was in Ooty, before coming to Krishna consciousness, we were traveling in a bus and one of our friends left a camera in the bus. And the bus went away. And he was in anxiety for 3-4 hours that, my God, I lost my camera. And when we came back in the evening to take the bus, that same bus went to the destination, came back, and the conductor came with the camera and he said, one of you has lost the camera. Gave the camera back to him. So the script, the Bhagavatam says that, what is it that is responsible for a person losing his wealth when he's securing it in his house? And what is it that is protecting a person's wealth when he loses it in the marketplace? It is only because of the superintendence of the Lord. It is the Lord who is actually doing that. And they said, Jiva tyanatho dyad ikshito vane grihe bhigutto so hato na jivati. That a person may be loitering around in the forest, a young boy, a small child loitering in the forest. So much of danger in the forest, so many tigers, lions, and so many things. But still, sometimes he's protected many times. And he comes back many times. Child lost, comes back after many days, safe and sound. But grihe bhigupto swahato na jivati. But a person who is safely within the house, something happens, he gets a heart attack and he dies. Isn't it? So what is it actually that is protecting someone who's in the forest? Who is it that is, killing someone who's in the safe precincts of the house is actually the Supreme Lord. So the very important thing to understand is that one should not endeavor for material facilities in one's life. Kamasya nendriya priti yavat jiveta yavataha jivasya tatva jigyasa nartho yascheha karmibhi. So Bhagavatam says one should not endeavor in this world simply for material acquisitions. Life's desires must not be focused for earning money and all these things. These are all secondary issues. One must seek out what? That Brahmasukh, devotional service. If one endeavors for that, then naturally everything else comes. And one should have that faith. That faith that by prosecuting of Krishna consciousness, everything else will follow. So, we have so many examples, when I go for preaching in the MBA, everyone is like very career oriented. So, I always tell them the story. And Krishna tells Duryodhan and Arjun, what do you want to choose? Choose. So Arjun makes a choice. He says, Krishna, I choose you. You come and join me. Join my force. So Krishna says, I'm not going to fight. But Arjun says, never mind, but still I want you. And Duryodhana says, I want your army, the Narayani Sena, the most powerful army in the world. And we know at the end what happens. He got the Narayani Sena, but the victory was of the Pandavas. So if we choose Krishna, if we choose devotional service, we get everything. And Krishna proved it through this, that even though a devotee may be at a material odds, or maybe he's at a material disadvantage, but if he's still fixed in Krishna consciousness, he'll be always successful. Everything he will get, you'll get. Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Yatra Bharata Dhanurdharaha, Tatra Shri Vijaya Bhutar Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, there has to be opulence, there has to be victory. Everything follows along with it. But if one does not have Krishna consciousness, then everything is lost. You know. So therefore it is important to understand this very important principle. It's like the richest man in the universe. Who is the richest man in the universe? Yeah? Who's the richest man in the universe? He's a devotee. Bhagavatam says, Dhruva Maharaj is the richest man in the universe. Because he had a king, he got a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, Brahma. Who can be richer than Brahma? So Krishna showed that if you are my devotee, you cannot be deprived of anything. What you want, everything will be given to you. You want wealth? So be it. Take it. So why is it that people are suffering from shortages in this world? It is not because of anything else, but it is only because of that lack of service to God, because of the impurities within one's heart that Lord is not giving them the facilities at that point of time. Because we are addicted. Just like some of the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, how do we raise funds for ISKCON? Prabhupada said, well, you know, you want wealth, Krishna will give you the wealth of the world. Krishna is Lakshmipati, isn't it? If you want wealth, he'll give you whatever, how much of a wealth you want. But the question is, what are you going to do with the wealth? Are you going to use it in Krishna's service, or are you going to use it in sense gratification? One of the devotees was telling one story of his friend whose father was an alcoholic. And he would spend all the money of the house to purchase liquor, you know, and he was an addict, completely an addict. He would not spend time with his wife, his children. So one day he just for a moment thought that I'm not spending time with my son, I should do something for my son. So he went, saved some money and purchased a bicycle for his father. For his son. And he started speaking sweet words to his son. But after some time what happened? Again he wanted to drink. He was falling short of money. So he took that cycle, sold it, and started drinking. You know? So we see that when a person is addicted to something, he cannot use his facilities properly, isn't it? Especially when the father and mother knows that the son is having some addictions. What the parents will do? Will lock the cupboards. Because the child will, the moment he gets an opportunity, he'll open the cupboard and steal some money and go purchase something, unwanted, forbidden things. So parents are very careful. If they know that the children are having some bad habits, they'll lock it up. Why? Because they are addicted. When there is addictions to sense gratification, to selfishness, rest assured that the resources will be misused. So the only problem in this world is not resources, it is the problem of that selfishness. So the moment when the Lord sees that we have become pure, He will bestow all the facilities, all the necessary amenities, whatever is needed. Facilities is not the problem. It is our heart, the selfishness. And the moment the Lord sees that a person is free from all these anarthas, then what do you want? Here, take it. So that is the thing. It's like a Christian preacher was, you know, addressing his audience. He says, if you have married your husband who is 30 years older to you, I pray that he dies so that you can get his money. So people do what not, you know, to get money and, you know, to do this and that and everything. But ultimately, we should understand this very essential secret. That just engage in Krishna consciousness, to further Krishna consciousness. And that is all that is required in this world. Even if one is poor, Prabhupada says, still, one should not work towards economic development. One should work for furthering Krishna consciousness. You see, in the Mahabharata, in the Gita also, Krishna addresses Arjuna as Dhananjay. Dhananjay means one who has conquered wealth. Arjuna was called Dhananjay. One who's conquered wealth. Therefore he says, Atha chittam samadhatum na shaknosi mai sthiram abhyasa yogena tato maam ichhaptum dhananjaya. That engage your mind in me. Oh Dhananjay, you have conquered wealth. Now conquer your mind and conquer the wealth of samadhi. So you are Dhananjay. That means the devotees of the Lord are what? Conquered wealth already, it is assumed. Now you rise further and conquer what? Conquer your mind and get Krishna. Because the greatest wealth is Krishna consciousness. So that is a very important principle. So, we see that in every ISKCON temple, you know, there are so many devotees who come every Sunday for feast. You cannot imagine, we take it for granted actually. So many devotees are fed every week, so many programs, everything. Sometimes 200, 300 people come extra, hardly any problem, isn't it? At home, if there are some 2, 3 guests extra, parents are thinking, oh my God, guests have come, pakana padega, ye hai, wo hai, you know, so many considerations are there. Few guests are extra and there's an anxiety in the house. But you see, in the temple, there's no dearth actually. In every, many ISKCON centers, so many people come, they take prasad, so much of prasad distribution, so many resources are being distributed. No dearth. Why? Because Krishna is being served here. One serves Krishna, the society is an example for the society at large to show that if one serves Krishna, if Krishna is the center, there cannot be any dearth of any resources. This is the proof. Therefore, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Srivas that, you know, that we are always at your house, we are always doing kirtan, you being a grahastha, you are not earning anything, you are not going to work, you are not doing anything. How do you manage your income? How do you manage to get your necessary fundings? So Srivas says, within 3 claps, if Krishna does not provide me what I need, I will commit suicide. Is confident that what is the need for endeavoring for money? Yeah. If I just serve Krishna, that is all. I don't need anything. Everything will be provided. So that is the secret. Therefore, it is explained, you know, that you know, there are so many people. If you see all these companies, economic development is going on and they're all doing that. But it is explained that 54% of the companies in India are engaged in some fraud case. And since, you know, there's a consulting company who's done a research that since 2003, there's a 125% increase in the corruption in companies. So we see that if one gets wealth without, you know, when one does not follow the recommended process of the Shastras, if just money is the goal, then what happens? It is causes anarchy in the society. People are cheated, people lose their wealth. And we see today, there's an economic depression. You know, companies like, there's so many companies, Satyam Infotech and all, they've been known to cheat. There's no, so many, in every country, there is no country where the companies have, you know, done their business in an honest way. There's no country where the politicians have been very honest. There have always been corruptions. Why? This goes to show that if you have resources and you do not have purity, there's going to be problems. Therefore, there are so many companies, so many, they are doing what? They are doing just illegal activities. So therefore, serving Krishna and endeavoring for purity of heart is a very important thing. And everything else will follow, all facilities. Like recently, I was just reading the life of Madhvacharya. You know, now Madhvacharya, you know, it is explained that one incident when Madhvacharya was studying the Shastras, he was approached by 2 very hefty people. And each person was very strong and like a wrestler, capable of, you know, lifting weights of 30 people. That was his strength. So they come to Madhvacharya, a great devotee of the Lord, and they say that, let's have a fight. Madhvacharya says, okay, you want to have a fight? Okay, let's have a match. So he says, I'm reading this shlokas, both of you together, catch my throat and press it. If you can even change the tone of the chanting of the verses, I'll accept defeat. And these two wrestlers holding the neck of Madhvacharya while Madhvacharya reciting the verses, they could not change the tone of the chanting of the verses. That was how strong he was, our Acharya. So going to show that what a devotee lacks. Nothing. Physical strength, health, nothing. He doesn't lack anything. Everything he has. Everything a devotee has. There is another incident of Madhvacharya. You know, and again, and on another instance, he was approached by two very hefty people again. And they challenged Madhvacharya, let's have a fight. Okay, fine. So let us have a tournament. The challenge is, I'll keep my finger on the ground. Both of you together should try to lift that finger. If you're successful, I'll accept defeat. And both of those hefty people were trying to lift the finger of Madhvacharya. They couldn't budge the finger. So we see, our Acharya is everything. Wealth, our Acharyas and all the great devotees in the past have shown that they have abundance of anything. Wealth, or you want physical strength, or you know, beauty, anything. Everything is available for a devotee. So therefore, one should not endeavor simply for sense gratification. In the Narada Puran, there is a story of Bhadramati, Brahman. He was a very austere Brahman, extremely poor, very, very poor, no resources whatsoever. He was so poor, he decided to beg something. So he goes, and it is explained that he goes and begs finally. At the end of his life sometime, he gets some small piece of land. And eventually he dies, a poverty-stricken life, but he never gave up his religiosity. A study of the Shastras, a very pure Brahman. And it is explained, just by enduring the poverty and sticking to religious principles, he got elevated to Brahmalok in his next life. From Brahmalok, he came down to Indralok. And from Indralok again, he was born in a very, very wealthy family. From where he prosecuted Krishna consciousness, completed his tenure in this material world, and went back home, back to Godhead. Such a destination. So we see that poverty is not just such an evil if one is engaged in Krishna consciousness. So what is the need is there to work? Because Krishna is already providing everything actually. It's an illusion to think that, you know, we are shortage of something. No? One preacher was saying that when a child is in the mother's womb, who provides for the milk and the food? When the child is completely helpless to do anything for itself, how is he provided with food? There is an umbilical cord connected to the mother, and he gets the nourishment from the mother. The moment he is born, who puts the milk within the breast of the mother? It's Krishna, isn't it? And when the milk is finished, the child gets teeth so that he can start eating. Is it not? So we see at every instant, Krishna has already provided everything. When we were completely helpless to do anything, Krishna was providing everything. Then why do we think that if we serve Krishna, Krishna will not provide? Why that lack of faith? So therefore, a devotee must be completely confident that all I have to do in life is just serve Krishna, just chant Hare Krishna. That's all that is required. And everything, all facilities will be provided. Even whatever service we have in Krishna consciousness, everything will be made arrangement. All facilities will be made. Like in Sanatana Goswami, there's a pastime in Vrindavan. When we visited to Vrindavan, we visited to a place of Sanatana Goswami, Chakleshwar Mahadev, where Sanatana Goswami, he wrote those scriptures there. And when he was writing his scriptures, there were a lot of mosquito problem there. So Sanatana Goswami was finding great disturbance there. So he decided, I have to leave this place, it's obstructing my service. So when he was about to leave, Lord Shiva felt great separation from his devotee. So he comes in the form of a Brahmin and he tells Sanatana Goswami, where are you going? So Sanatana Goswami says, so much of mosquitoes. You know, I better go away from here because I can't do my service. I have to write these books. So Lord Shiva, he says, don't worry, just wait for one more night. And if still you have problem, then you can go. So, respecting that Brahman's advice, he stays back. And Lord Shiva, in that night, he summons the demigod in charge of the mosquitoes. And he says, get out from here. Don't trouble my devotee. And from that day onwards, there's no mosquitoes in Chakleshwar Mahadev site. So Sanatana Goswami continued to write his literatures there. So devotee has no problem whatsoever. There's another story in Haridas Thakur, when he was living in a cave, Jagannath Puri, the devotees would come to meet him. But Haridas Thakur was so oblivious of where he was living that he didn't even realize there was a snake within that cave. So the devotees were, you know, hesitating to come and meet Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur contemplated that it is an obstruction to the service. People are not able to meet me. So I think I'll leave this cave and go to another cave because the snake is living here. Let him take this place. Out of compassion for that snake, he left that. He decided to leave that cave. At that time, the Supreme Lord, within the heart of the snake, gave the snake intelligence to leave the cave. And within the presence of Haridas Thakur, the snake just slithered out of the cave and left that cave. We see that how all arrangements for the service of the devotees is made by the Lord. All a devotee has to do is just take shelter of Krishna. Because the real wealth is what? The real wealth is Krishna consciousness. All material facilities we will not be able to take with us. There's a story of one king, you know. In the Puranas, there's a story of a king. He was not interested in spiritual life. So he went to a sadhu. Sadhu says, I see your future very clearly. Says, really, what is my future? He says, in your next life, you will go to heaven. Sir, that's very nice. But only there is one problem you will face in heaven. He says, what is that? He says, you will be bitten by mosquitoes there. Mosquitoes in heaven. So he says, well, aren't there mosquito nets available? He says, yes, mosquito nets will be available. So then no problem, I will, you know, purchase mosquito net there, no problem. He says, no, but the problem is that a mosquito net will have a hole in it. So mosquito net will have a hole in it. So no problem, I will purchase the needle and I'll stitch it up. That is the only problem. That there won't be any needle available in that place where you'll be going. So you can make arrangements to take a needle probably. So the king starts thinking, a needle? My God, I can't even take a needle to heaven, isn't it? When I die. So he realizes what futility of material existence. That we can't take a needle with us when we die. And still, you see, people are, you know, endeavoring day and night for gathering material acquisitions. So this is what it is. So Krishna says in the Gita, "Ananyas chintayantomam ye jana paryupasate, tesham nitya bhyukta nam yogakshema mahamya." That if one simply endeavors for Krishna consciousness, one simply focuses on Krishna, on the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, then automatically all the other facilities and requirements will be provided for by the Lord. This is the general principle. So, in the Gita, there are so many examples of this. Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate nadikam tatah yasmin stitona dukhena gurunapi vichalyate. That having attained Krishna consciousness or perfection or samadhi, one is completely satisfied. There is no need for anything else. One does not need anything else. He doesn't feel the need. He is completely situated. Sukham atyantikam yattat buddhigrahyam atindriyam. Vyatti yatran chaivayam sthitaschalati tatvatah. That one is situated in a joyous state, an unbounded bliss. That state of Krishna consciousness is mentioned actually. So one does not need anything. All one needs to do is just endeavor for it, for purity, for Krishna consciousness. Once Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, I'll conclude with this story, you know, once Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj was saying that tomorrow we will have a festival. Tomorrow we are going to have a great festival. So all the devotees became very happy. Oh, we'll have a festival. So they asked Babaji Maharaj, how will we celebrate the festival tomorrow? So the whole day we will just chant Hare Krishna. And the devotees became afraid. My God, whole day just chant Hare Krishna. What kind of festival is this? We are paupers. We don't have any money. What festival we can have? We just chanting of the holy name is the greatest festival. So the devotee is a little frightened. But fortunately for us, we have ISKCON, we have Srila Prabhupada. where we have so many other facilities, isn't it? Where we can chant Hare Krishna, chanting, feasting and dancing. We chant, we become tired, we take a little rest, we participate in kirtan, we take a little feast, again we chant, do some service. So this is the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So the real wealth is what? The holy names of the Lord. That is the real wealth. And we chant Hare Krishna sincerely. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Ram. Then there is no shortage. All the facilities will be made available. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jaya. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare.